I finished reading the book of Jeremiah last week, and in the first part, in essentially like the first 50 chapters or so, which is most of the book, Jeremiah is giving instruction, he's warning, he's talking to the people of Jerusalem, to Judah, to God's people, the church, and they ignore him. They dismiss him. They want to kill him. They're angry with him. But they ultimately wind up putting him in prison. And then in the second part of the book, the Babylonians come. He was right. They come and they take Jerusalem and they free him from prison. And one of the Babylonian generals, he comes up to him he says, "You were right. Your God said this would happen, and it did happen." And when I read that, I thought to myself, I was like, finally, somebody hears Jeremiah. And the general says, "You can go wherever you want to go. You can come with us back to Babylon, or you can stay here. Do whatever you want to do." It's amazing, just change of reaction, you know, the way that someone's treating him. And then the next thing that starts happening is Jeremiah starts prophesying against the Babylonians. And I just thought, my heart kind of sank a little bit. It was just like, this guy doesn't get a break. He's the mouthpiece of God. He's obedient to what God wants him to do. And this guy doesn't have a friend on the earth. He's called to everyone's being unfaithful, and he's called to speak against them. And then once he finally gets a friend, they're idolatrous, sinful Babylonians. And he says, "You guys need to repent too. And you're going to be held responsible for what you're doing here." I mean, it's an incredible thing to meditate on. And so I was just thinking, this is Jeremiah the contrarian, Jeremiah at odds with the world, an Athanasius of Jerusalem 1,000 years before Athanasius of Alexandria. I mean, I have been by a man that I respect a lot, been dismissed as a contrarian. And that hurts, man. You know, it's like, I'm not just being a contrarian to be a contrarian, you know. And, what we find our satisfaction in is that we're not trying to please men, but we're trying to please God. And if it turns out that we have to be contrary to the world, then we're contrary to the world, and we're not seeking the approval of men. We're seeking the approval of God. We're seeking the company of the faithful. And even if that faithful is millions of friends, or if it's a few, or if it's none, you follow after objective truth. You follow after God, and you seek His approval. So, like Jeremiah, we are at odds with the church and the world. And like Christ, we are suffering for it, and that's okay. It's a good thing to suffer like Christ. It's a way of being blessed by Him. And He shows forth His love for us in His sufferings. And so we show forth our love for God's people in our own sufferings. And this meal reminds us of Jesus showing forth His sufferings for us. And it sacramentally brings us into union with that suffering, with that sacrifice. So come and welcome to Jesus Christ.